welcome to Griplock, Foundation Disc Golf's weekly podcast. I'm Hunter, joined as always by Trevor and Connor. We're all back. We're all
everybody's
in the studio.
Here.
Everyone's here. Trevor filmed a video with us yesterday, Foundation Nation video, and after being together for one day,
emotional.
We're back to matching.
It hurt.
Although these are the only really hoodies did. We wear that match, or have that match in this style, because we don't have the same color.
We buy different colors on purpose.
Yeah, that way when we wake up and choose the same hoodie, we still don't technically match.
I just think you guys have a group text without me, otherwise known as just a direct message.
No, it's a full group text.
A group text, but it's just me and Hunter.
Everyone's in it but you, but only Trevor and I talk.
Yeah.
Everybody else is just your audience.
Yeah, they just listen. That way you don't know what we're going to wear, but everyone else isn't surprised. Before we get into today's episode, let's go ahead and take a moment to thank our sponsors. Cheers to 2022 and resolutions you can actually keep. How about being clean shaven all year round? Our sponsors over at Manscaped are here to help with that this year and make 2022 the cleanest and sexiest ever. Set your first New Year's resolution with good intentions and join the 4 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with our exclusive offer. You can go over to manscaped.com and use code GRIPLOCKED for 20% off and free shipping. It's a new year, new me with the global leaders in below the waist grooming. And this year, take your package to the next level with the Performance Package 4.0 and brand new ultra premium body wash. Inside the Performance Package 4.0, you'll find the signature Lawnmower 4.0. This electric trimmer is designed to trim hair on loose skin, and the advanced skin safe technology reduces cuts and nicks. And it also comes equipped with a 400K LED spotlight that will help you make sure to shave what you want and avoid what you don't. To complete this set, Manscaped threw in their shed travel bag and anti-chafing boxer briefs as free gifts to help keep all your goodies stored comfortably. Kick discomfort and poor hygiene to the curb this year and use the best tools for the job. And don't forget to get 20% off and free shipping with the code GRIPLOCKED at manscaped.com. That's 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com using the code one word, GRIPLOCKED. It's a new year, new you in 2022 with Manscaped.
I wonder when they're going to hit 5 million men. Do you think about that?
Well, I mean, when we started doing these reads, it was only 2 million men.
Was it really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I'm not going to say that was
good. We did that much?
Yeah, but I mean,
come on.
Trevor, something that you missed while you were gone was Hunter could not say crop reviver. Every time he said it, he said crop reviser.
Crop reviver.
There you go. He just said
he also used to get hit with the formulations ones. He would say...
Now I'm just I get hit with Formula One.
Okay.
I don't think I understand what you mean by get hit with formulations.
Like he would mess up formulations.
I'd mess up formulations.
Oh.
But... It is what it is.
That's fun.
All right, so let's hop into some off-season movement yet again. We only have probably like
what an off-season.
One or two more weeks of this, because the only person that hasn't announced, I believe, is Katrina Allen, but we'll get into that in a second.
Isn't the Shelly Sharp coming up?
Shelly Sharp Memorial?
I saw AB post last night that he was getting...
I feel like it's normally in February.
I thought so too, but... Well, I guess probably beginning of February.
Well, good.
We're getting so close.
Almost there.
We're getting so close because Memorial is in February, right?
The whole tour starts at the end of February.
That's right. Vegas is in February,
Vegas is,
too.
The All-Star Weekend is exactly a month from right now. Four weeks from right now is All-Star Weekend.
I'm so excited.
Shelly Sharp Memorial is January 14th through the 16th, 2 days from now.
Oh, my gosh. We're going to have an A-tier with like who's
Adam
in there?
Adam Hammes, Cale LaVisca, Drew Gibson, Austin Turner. Haven't heard that name in a long time. Anthony Barella, Aaron Gossage, Luke Sampson, Jordan Castro.
Some
Tristan
players.
Tanner.
All right.
Now, let's look at the FPO side.
Who's playing FPO?
Looks like we got Owen Scoggins, Jennifer Allen, Callie McMorrin, and those are the touring pros that are there.
Nice.
Now, interesting. Pete Ulibarri is playing.
It's always really fun watching Hammes and AB and usually Drew just like battle it out in Arizona.
Yeah. I mean, I did not realize that was this weekend. We got disc golf back. So next week we'll have something to talk about. That's exciting.
That is exciting.
But for this week, off season movement, we saw some announcements finally happen. Haley King has announced that she is going over to Innova. Basically, no information has been released about her contract. We don't know how long it's for, anything like that.
She did say Innova fashion.
She did say like that she was signed with them for the 2022 season. So some people are saying, like, does that mean only 1 year?
1 year deal.
Who knows? I'm going to see
I get the feeling, and I said this before, but I get the feeling that Haley's contract was not... I think she was expecting to re-sign with Discraft going into the offseason. I think it came out of nowhere. I have some thoughts about why that might happen, but I think that maybe what happened was she had to scramble a little bit and decided to take the 1 year deal so that she didn't have to worry about like super crazy negotiation, which is really smart for her because a 1 year deal is not going to hurt her So yeah. That would be really smart of her.
We were talking about this on debate night last night, is like, now that so many contracts have been made public, if your contract isn't made public, it immediately makes everyone be like, oh,
it's not worth that much.
Yeah, like, well, yeah, we know Haley didn't get the Kona deal, which that might not be true. Haley could have just signed a 1 year, $400,000 guaranteed deal and ended up not announcing.
Here's what you have to remember: if she did sign a 1 year deal, a lot of disc golf contracts, even though the guaranteed money is getting higher, a lot of even that guaranteed money is still based off of sales that they're going to make off of your like discs and stuff.
Yeah,
so if you're signing a player for 1 year, you're not going to be really willing to make a ton of stuff with their name on it because you know that after 1 year, it might not even be usable.
Yeah.
So I think that has something to do with it. They probably could only just pay her whatever they were willing to just pay her in cash.
It is very interesting. I'd be interested
might
to
be
know.
70K.
I'd be interested to know if Haley got a raise going to Innova. Oh, like if she has more guaranteed money at Innova than she did at Discraft.
Had to, just because when was her last deal signed with Discraft? Like, the numbers have just changed.
That's true. That is true.
Like, I bet she was, like, if she was, I think she was still on a pretty early deal with Discraft, and it could not have been worth a lot at all. I think her Innova deal, if I were to sign Haley King right now to a 1 year deal, and all I can really throw at her is cash, like, I can't really promise a lot of brand stuff because it's 1 year.
Well, it's also Innova.
I would think she's got to be valued for that 1 year at least $50,000. I would think.
You would hope, but who knows?
It might not be, but it's...
I mean, Kona...
Maybe like that plus travel. I guess they can still pay travel.
Yeah,
so.
They can do travel stuff, and that has to be factored into stuff. But, I mean, Kona, when she left, talked openly about her end of a contract a little bit, and at first said she had no guaranteed money, and then like, well, I guess that isn't technically true. I had a little monthly stipend, is how she described it.
Right.
And that was one of the future FPO players that they had signed. I would imagine Haley got a bigger contract than Kona had when she was with Innova, but... It's tough to know what it is. Innova's not going to release the contract. The other thing that I thought was interesting is like we've seen Prodigy make this sick video for Kevin Jones when they re-signed him. We saw when Missy Gannon, Adam Hammes, all these players re-signed with Discraft, they made videos. When Ricky and Kona went to Dynamic Disc, they made a video with a helicopter and like went above and beyond this bit sick video. And then when Dickerson went to Discraft, which we'll talk about that here in a second, sick video. Haley to Innova. There was a video made. It wasn't posted by Innova. It was posted on Haley King's YouTube channel. It was okay. It wasn't anything over the top crazy. But then Innova didn't even post about the deal until a full day later, like 24 hours after it had been announced.
Innova's social media is abysmal. Like,
I just don't understand.
Innova as a company is so confusing because they are just wasting... They are wasting so much opportunity, and I know they're just sitting on the amount of... market share that they've already had in the sport, but like they need to understand that they will die if they do not push social media, if they do not push personalities. Like, you need that to thrive as a company. That's just how modern business works. It's not even a matter of disc golf. That's just how this thing works. There's a reason. There's a reason that companies are spending the time. Like, you'll go on TikTok and you'll see just random corporate companies commenting on popular TikToks. There's a reason that stuff happens. Like, it's
someone responded to my tweet, one of my tweets, I forget which one, and had probably, in my opinion, the best analogy for Innova right now.
Okay.
And that was 1980s NBA Converse. Converse in the NBA was the shoe. Everyone was wearing it. If you go back
that
to
is a
1980s,
really good analogy.
Early
90s, already.
Everyone is wearing Converse.
Yeah.
Then Michael Jordan comes along and Nike spends money to get their shoe on Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
And Michael Jordan changed the game, obviously. Yeah. Greatest player of all time.
He changed the entire NBA.
But then everyone wanted to be like Mike. There's a reason that whole commercial was there. So that is a movie too.
Great movie.
So they started pushing commercials, you know, everything, be like Mike, the whole campaign. Converse just didn't spend a lot of money on sponsoring players, advertising, whatever. So what happened? Nike took over the market because they spent time marketing through players where all the eyeballs were Michael Jordan. They put their time and money there and they had to aggressively take what was theirs. Whereas Converse was like, no one can touch us. Literally every NBA player wears our shoes and we're not even paying them to do it. Mm-hmm. And you know what ended up happening? Converse keeps going downhill. And in 2003, Nike buys Converse for $300 million.
I didn't even know that. Oh my gosh. I didn't even know that.
And now if you look at Converse, where do you see them?
It's like a niche shoe.
It's like a niche, like hipster, skater, trendy shoe. Right. Whereas it used to be like the basketball shoe.
Yeah.
Like if you wore Converse they had on to a change basketball lanes. Court. Yeah. Well, no, and Nike they didn't changed even change. Nike changed their lane.
Yeah. It was the same thing. It used to be a skater shoe too, but then Vans came.
Yeah. Like if you wore Converse on a basketball court right now, you'd be laughed at.
You better be amazing.
Yeah.
Because then it'll look cool.
But yeah, but I think that's kind of what we're seeing is like,
that is a really good analogy.
Hey, everyone throws our discs. Why on earth? Why would we spend this much on players?
Paul is your Michael Jordan and part of that analogy because he's a guy who came in and changed disc golf and everybody threw Innova because Paul did. And then when he left, everybody started throwing disc craft. Like it's,
yeah.
Just to be clear,
it's not that difficult to understand.
A few months ago before USDGC, whenever I said that, that Innova needed to get with the times because they were like kind of stuck back in their old ways. Everybody crapped on me and came after me.
Who said that? Us?
Yeah.
No chance.
All right, never mind. I dreamt it.
I don't feel. I feel like we've always had this take.
It depends on what you would talk about. If you're talking about USDGC, on me, I think
you guys. I think you guys were both just like, "Hey, come on, man."
There's a solid chance that was very sarcastic because we will say that.
I say I think I've always had this take about Innova, but I don't know.
I will say I still think. Innova, short term, not going to, like, they have time to wake up.
Yeah.
It's not definitely, done. They got a solid 5 to 10 years to wake up. But if they keep the trend of, like, basically a player goes to Innova because that's still at this point, Team Innova is one of the most prestigious things to wear, not for much longer. If a player is at Innova or goes to Innova, becomes a top player, they're going to have to leave Innova to get paid. If that continues, then they're going to end up with no one in the top 10 throwing Innova because everyone is going to get paid elsewhere.
Here's what you have to remember. The PDGA was just flashing that stat the other day. They hit their 200,000th member, and they got... So from the 70s until 2017, that's how long it took them to get 100,000, and they got the next 100,000 between 2017 and now. When did Paul join Discraft?
2018.
Exactly. So most of that time when the sport has been booming, he hasn't even been associated with Innova.
Yeah.
So like this is the time.
The top three players in the world right now are Ricky, Paul, Calvin, or Ricky, Paul, Eagle, I'd say. Calvin, I think, is number four. Ricky, Paul, Eagle, top three. Even if you don't want to say top three players, you want to put Calvin in the top three. The top three most recognizable pros.
Yeah.
You can put Simon in most recognizable. Still, my fact stays the same. None of them throw Innova.
Yeah, Innova's hurt.
Because now Innova even split with Discmania. So the marketability that they were getting from Simon and Eagle, because like at least they were kind of co-marketing.
Yeah.
They lost that now too. So Innova isn't hurting yet.
I think they're a prideful company.
Well, yeah. And also I've seen so many fans that are like, people who think that Innova's going to be hurt are just idiots because like I don't base my bag on what pros throw.
Well, you're not everybody.
A, you're not everyone, and B,
the new
you're
players
going
do, though.
To because the plastic that Play It Again Sports, Dick's Sporting Goods, all these places buy are based on what the pros throw because that's what sells the most.
Right.
So eventually, it's going to be harder and harder to find your sweet V-Rock because no one's going to be throwing it. So it's going to be like, I mean, we could buy 15 V-Rocks or we could buy 15 Buzzes, and the Buzzes are going to sell tomorrow.
The new crop of players is also, that's the most important one to be getting, and they're all gravitating towards Discraft. It's very obvious if you're watching new players getting into the sport right now, what they're throwing.
Well, and even if they're like a Paul or Dickerson fan, they'll go towards Discraft, but if they're Eagle fan, they're going to Discmania. If they watch and they really like Rick or Kona, now they're going to Dynamic. Yeah. None of those places said Innova. Yeah. The one thing I will say, and we'll talk about this a little bit later too, is it does look like Evelina and Henna are going to be over here a bit more this year. Fingers crossed. So. They will at least be somewhat of a dominant force on the FPO side, and so there will still be Innova at the top of FPO.
Yeah.
But if Evelina and Henna come over and dominate, they're going to be deserving that four-year, $500,000 plus contract. And again, we haven't seen Innova willing to pony that up.
Yeah.
So that might be something where... Peace out. They're going elsewhere.
I just want to see Innova just drop it all on the table and just sign somebody.
Because they've got old money where they've got to have one of the biggest bank accounts in disc.
That's
golf.
What I'm saying. I want to see them announce we just signed Eagle for 10 years, $20 million. Like that's what I want to see Innova just drop it all out there and be like, ha.
But what I will say is Haley King as a player this year. I don't think we'll see any drop off.
No.
Because Brody was saying, like, he was kind of questioning of like, you know, she's announcing it late. Like, I wonder how much.
Innovaplastic. She said she started with Innovaplastic.
That's what I told Brody. Is I was like, this generation of pros and even probably the next generation all started playing with Innova.
Yeah.
So there's a nostalgia when you go back and you hold a T-Bird again. For this generation of pros, you're like, I know exactly what
it's going
to do.
It's so straightforward when you approach the Innova lineup. It's so straightforward what to throw. Like, it's like, you throw AVRs and then rocks and T-Birds.
And you don't need to go looking for the good versions of them. You can pretty much just pick up a stock of anything.
It's not difficult to navigate the Innova lineup because they don't have, like, it's very much, they've been around so long that people know what the good stuff is.
Well, it's also like most modern discs were based on something from Innova in a way.
She's going to be just
play wise. I don't think it's going to matter.
No.
I don't know if I love the move for her just because she is in a spot where I think her brand still needs to be built. She's not a player that like has this super strong brand and on like social media and stuff like that to where she can come into Innova. Like Big Germ and Nate Sexton have had their brand built elsewhere with Jomez and all this, all their like other media stuff that they do, to where they don't need Innova to build their brand.
Right.
But a player like Haley, Discraft was doing a great job building her brand. Innova, again, unless something changes, just doesn't build players' brands. That's just something that they don't focus on. So for Haley, I don't know if it was a great move for her brand wise, but play wise, it's not gonna hurt.
Yeah, I keep getting this feeling, and my suspicion is that potentially Kat, if she's headed to Discraft, I have no idea if she is, but if she is headed to Discraft, I have a feeling that could have been what affected Haley King's potential renegotiation or whatever might have been going on, might have squeezed her out, because it's think about it. If you're Haley and you're thinking about re-signing for big money with Discraft long term, and then you hear that a player like Kat is coming in, you know that the cap room is getting squeezed more than it would have been, and you know your contract is going to be smaller than potentially it would have been. So that's a very good motivator to go somewhere to where a company is going to focus a lot more of their budget on you. It just, everything about it seemed really like quick and not super premeditated.
Yeah.
So, and maybe not anybody's fault, but that's just the vibe I've gotten from that.
I've gotten the same vibe. I'm very curious to see where Katrina Allen ends up.
I think it's going to be Discraft.
So my front runners are DGA.
What a super team they've got.
DGA, seriously. Discraft. And the one that makes the most sense.
Ain't no way she's going to DGA.
But.
Ain't no way.
I hope we have to clip that at some point. I hope she goes to DGA. I agree, but like it was her first sponsor. There has been, like, I think Drew said that you'll never guess where she's going. I don't know. Well, I don't know.
Okay, Captain EV7. That's spoiler alert.
But I was gonna say that's the third thing is it would make a lot of sense if she went to Infinite. She has to have a contract that is bigger than like Kona's and Kristen in my head, guaranteed. And
that's just won a world title.
I just can't. If Infinite like offers her that type of money, guaranteed, where it's like 4 years, 1.5 mil.
That would be
Sorry. 4 years, 750,000. That's the next step up. Sorry. I thought
that's
it was
just
4
so
mil.
Much money.
But 4 years, 750,000 guaranteed. I would just be like, holy frick.
That would be an incredible sign.
And if she did that, then I think some manufacturers would have wake up calls of like, hey, Infinite's competition to manufacturers.
Yeah.
Because like that, they are a manufacturer.
The question is though, like, if Discraft shells out another big contract, man, Discraft is balling.
Yeah.
And like, we assume that they are because they sell a lot of plastic right now.
A whole lot of plastic.
They're going to have a super team.
But yeah, this is better than the Prodigy team when they first came around. And that's saying something because that team was, well,
maybe I don't know if it would be
we might have to go head to head. Well, it's pretty much
the Prodigy team had everyone.
Because at the time, it was a really good team. But like,
they had Yuli when Yuli was.
So you trade out. Okay.
Yuli, Jerm, Nico, Kat.
Let's all calm down. Look at Yuli's stats and tell me how good
he was. Listen to this project.
They had Shoestrick and Nico when they were both really good still.
Nico, Big Jerm, Ricky.
I forgot that. Jerm was not on that original team. I don't think he was on the original team when they announced.
Was he still with Discraft back then?
I just don't feel like he was. Like, I remember Paige, watching all. They had Paige Kat. And Kat, and they had Ricky on that team.
Yeah.
But if you.
I mean, that's a better team then even if Discraft lands Katrina Allen, that original Prodigy team's
better. No, yeah, so. That original Prodigy team is untouchable.
Yeah. Now
that team is stupid good.
They weren't throwing Prodigy. They were throwing Prodigy stamped Innovar, whatever they cared.
Who cares?
But that the original Prodigy team was just ridiculous.
Will was throwing
Discraft.
Will
about,
was throwing Prodigy.
Will probably was, man. Will's the Prodigy goat.
He's the prodigy.
He's the prodigy. He's the protege.
He's the protege.
I think that
I'm just copying what y'all are saying.
I think that if Kat goes to Discraft and Discraft just ends up having this super team, we should refer to them as the Avengers.
The Avengers. That would be a sick stamp for them.
That's what I was saying.
Intellectual property. We claim it. You can't do it. Sorry, Bob.
But let's before we get into more speculation, let's talk about what has happened, which is Chris Dickerson to Discraft. It's a 4-year deal, and this is what he quotes from his Instagram. We are valuing this contract as a 7-figure plus deal over the 4 years. My contract does not limit my earning potential and has a minimum guaranteed amount to keep my family extremely comfortable. I'm very excited that part of my contract includes an RV that's already sitting in our driveway. Shout out to everyone who saw me driving home and messaged me to say congrats. I won't tell. Y'all are amazing. Having a home on the road is crucial for my family, and we are thrilled with this upgrade from our travel trailer. Sick. Discraft will also be helping me build Chris Dickerson as a brand, which is extremely important to me. Be on the lookout for my logo, as well as a website that will be coming soon.
Dang, I already saw RV.
I already saw him rocking that Team Discraft camo shirt and like the movie they did. I was like, that's kind of cool.
That was so
He
Chris
also
Dickerson.
Already kinda called cool. the, when he posted, he called the Buzz the greatest mid-range in disc golf.
Oh, wow.
Just right away.
I think Dickerson's going to have a lot of success with that plastic.
Yeah.
I mean,
I'm excited to watch
it. Heisman Flip King.
I was gonna say, he's going to be throwing Undertakers and beat in buzzes.
All
he's
got to do is talk
business.
To MJ about what he throws. They're going to, like.
Chris Dickerson is probably going to throw the crap out of a meteor.
He's going to throw the comet.
I could see him throwing the comet.
He's not throwing the comet. No.
I'm a Dickerson. What's he going to putt with?
That's what
I asked Hunter yesterday.
Did he switch to P Model S's?
No, I don't think so. No, he
I
just
like
he
had still doing PA threes.
No, he
though.
Had signature PA
threes
this year.
I know he was throwing PA threes. If he's going PA threes,
challengers.
I feel like a Focus is the closest, personally, because the PA three has a big enough bead that the challenger. I was a PA three putter when I switched to Discraft. The only thing that felt somewhat comfortable was the Focus.
It'll probably be either a Focus or a challenger.
But if he was putting with P Model S's, he's going Luna.
And if I were Discraft,
I'd be shoving challengers. In his hands because they need somebody to move them because nobody is moving them.
Yeah.
But the Focus would make sense for him. But that'll be interesting. I would be very curious to see his bag.
And he's probably going to love the crank.
Yeah.
The crank flies a lot like Prodigy drivers.
Yeah.
I'm not super familiar with his
like the X series stuff.
I know he threw a lot of the H series stuff as well. And he threw X series stuff too.
I'm not super familiar with his bag.
But
he had a lot
of
old Prodigy. So he had a lot of like Bowling Green D3s and stuff that's like not real Prodigy. Like
he's gonna have a
they
lot
were
of
like forces and stuff.
I'm glad he was able to get what sounds like a pretty good contract.
Yeah. Now,
it's
what
a steal for Discraft though. It's
it does
steal.
Seem like it's a very royalty heavy deal from what I've read.
Yeah.
Which makes sense. So it's based, but I think he's gonna be able to sell a lot. But it does say that he has a minimum guarantee, and he put it to keep my family extremely comfortable.
Yeah.
So to me, extremely comfortable means that's it over six figures a year.
I'm sure he's making six figures guaranteed.
Yeah. And so, and then to value the contract as
that
a seven figure plus deal over the 4 years, I would almost say that maybe it's a little bit more. Like maybe it's like $150,000 a year. Because you can't value it at seven figures if you're like, over the 4 years, we're going to sell 550,000 discs.
Well, Dickerson is a very likable guy.
Yeah.
Like, so that you can move Dickerson's plastic. I wonder what, I guess, are they going to give him the
Tour
Series
buzz?
Him the buzz? Yeah.
Yeah. No one had it. That's what was interesting is when we were like thinking through, because I think Hamiz had announced that he's going to the zone. We're looking at different players because obviously Paige is going to be with the Fierce, Paul's going to be with the Luna, and we're looking at everyone else. And we were like, we went through the list of where we expected players to be. And we were like, who? Like, no one was on the buzz last year. Who's going to have the buzz this year? And we like went through the list. And I was like, no one.
Yeah,
like none of them are having
the
buzz because I thought Hamiz would have jumped to the buzz, but he jumped to the zone because Earhart retired,
which means the Wasp.
And that
is
makes
now
sense
open.
As to why so Dickerson
maybe,
went.
Maybe
buzz.
If Kat comes over, she'll take the Wasp.
Possibly.
Or something completely different.
But I don't know. The Wasp might have been taken by someone this year. Because they did have, I forget.
Oh, yeah.
They changed up their Elite Series team.
They moved
team,
up
elite
some
team.
People, I think.
But really quick, before we go into more topics, I did want to go through the 2022 sponsorship year-to-date. So far, what we know. Because, I mean, there are some deals on here that I was like, I forgot that happened this year.
Yeah. It's been a lot.
This is from UltiWorld. If you want to check it out, they have the 2022 player sponsorship tracker. So Drew Gibson, lifetime deal with Infinite and slash his own company. He actually named the company. Did y'all see
Finish Line Discs?
Finish Line Discs. Mm.
Pretty cool logo. You see how they did like the checkered flag?
I did like the logo.
FL, yeah.
And it looks like he's coming out with a fairway driver. I'll try to talk to Drew and see if we can get our hands on it.
Get a little early.
I'm sure
he's already got prototypes. We might be able to get one ahead of the curve.
Then we had Kristen Tatar sign an extension, 4 years, $500,000 guaranteed with Latitude 64. We saw Eric Oakley go from Dynamic to Infinite. Gavin Rathbun from Discmania to Dynamic Disc. Nicholas Antila.
I did forget about a lot of these.
Discmania, 2 year extension. Cole Redolin, Discraft to Infinite. Matty O, Prodigy to Westside. Barsby, 3 year extension with Innova. Matt Bell, DGA to ThoughtSpace and EV7, which that's actually interesting. I thought Matt Bell went to Infinite. But he just went EV7 and ThoughtSpace, apparently.
Yeah.
I don't know why I thought. I just think when I see ThoughtSpace and EV7, I immediately go, oh, they're with Infinite. Because that's like
a lot of
the
people are pairing Infinite with EV7, yeah.
Typical thing. Brad Schick, MJ, Andrew Fish, and Andrew Presnell all signed extensions with Discraft. Marweed moved from Innova to DGA. A lot of people, including myself, keep forgetting that Innova lost Marweed too. Yeah. They're really bleeding.
Yeah.
Macy Vela-Diaz signed a one-year extension with Dynamic. Erica Stinchcomb stayed with Westside. Hammes signed a three-year extension with Discraft. Nico...
We never got those numbers, too.
No, we never got those.
Dang it.
Nico...
Love to know that.
Had an early termination with Westside. Still don't know where Nico's going.
Oh, yeah.
So there's still TBD.
You guys don't want any piece of mixed bag Nico.
Next to Nico. This is an interesting one. Des Redding moved from Innova to Mint Discs.
She's got. She probably owns part of it.
Got to. Missy Gannon, 2 year extension with Discraft.
We'll talk about it in a second.
Katrina Allen, Prodigy. Still don't know where she's going. She left Prodigy. Don't know where she's going. Kevin Jones, 4 year extension with Prodigy. And then here's the Innova Exodus. We had Valerie Mandahano, Ricky Wysocki, Mason Ford, and Kona Panis all leave Innova and go to Dynamic. Mason and Valerie signed 2 year deals. Ricky and Kona signed 4 year deals. Sexton, they did an early extension. I think that was kind of like PR, freak out.
Let's
stop the bleeding. Early extension with Sexton, 2 years through 2025 now. Haley King moved from Discraft to Innova. Ella Hansen, 2 year extension with Discmania. Gannon Burr, 2 year extension with Prodigy. Dickerson moved from Prodigy to Discraft on a 4 year deal. Casey White, 2 year extension with Discmania. And Lori Littinen, 2 year extension with Latitude 64.
This is the benefit of, well, two things. Number
one,
Trilogy is about to have themselves a year.
Yeah, that's awesome.
But number two, this is the cool thing about having so much more parity in the sport to where there's so many more good players. These offseason moves now are like every move is like important.
Every move. Yeah.
It used to be kind of like, there's like two players we're watching, but now every single one of those names is relevant.
So basically all that's left is Katrina Allen, Nico LeCastro. Where the heck are they ended up?
Nico,
I forgot.
Is going to Gateway.
Nico's got to be. Here's the thing.
He's coming home.
I just don't think that many companies
I want them to, do
want
the Ricky
to touch
thing.
Nico right now.
I want them to do the Ricky thing with like the helicopter where they do the coming home.
Helicopter.
But instead of going to a helicopter, he gets on a motorcycle.
Oh, heck yeah.
That's the most Gateway thing I've ever heard.
Like, I don't see Nico on like a Harley or like a cafe racer.
No,
he's like a crotch rocket.
Yeah. But
do some of that sound.
I just don't. Nico as a player is like a kind of an anomaly because he just is like he's jumped around from so many companies.
He's top 20 in the world though.
He's been top 20 since like 2009.
Yeah,
like 2009 he was like the best player in the world, and we're here 14 years later, and
got that longevity.
Yeah, he's still up there, but company has ever been like kept him around. Like he just lets the off course stuff affect him.
I want to see him more. I just want him to be even more involved than he is. I want to see more Nico.
Yeah, I think he's gonna end up at Gateway. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think he's gonna end up at Gateway, but he might end up nowhere. I don't know.
It's true.
I don't know what's gonna happen.
It wouldn't surprise me.
He's gonna have a voodoo sponsorship.
Someone said that someone had a theory that he was gonna try to like make his own line of discs with his like flight club thing he has. I don't know.
It wouldn't surprise me if he ended up at EV7.
Maybe. Yeah, it's a tough thing right now to have your company tied to Nico because he's such a polarizing figure.
Yeah.
That like
you're going to get backlash.
If you sign Nico, you're going to have an immediate group of people that will never buy your product.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And like what you don't know is how big is the people who will buy your product because you have Nico. Because you never see like diehard Nico fans on social media.
Hand up.
So it's going to be interesting. It's definitely going to be interesting. But Katrina Allen is the one that all eyes are on right now.
Yeah.
Where is she going? We only have a few weeks for her to announce. Like, there's not much time left. She's got, she honestly, she probably is announcing right now while we're filming this.
Probably.
Yeah.
But she's got to announce soon. Like,
I'm sure it'll
there's
come
no
out
way
today or tomorrow.
Yeah. So
I'm so excited for
so
Dynamic for for Trilogy. Because so, we literally just a few weeks ago, one of the prompts on in the bag was, you know, you're not a pro if, and then I said, if you throw Trilogy.
Yeah. You look like idiot.
Well, stupid. No, but back then, a few weeks ago, it was true. And now they got everybody.
Yeah.
Now I'm just dumb.
So here, we'll wrap up this off-season movement section with a question that was posed to us on debate night, and I want to hear y'all's thoughts on it.
Okay.
Give me the player and the company that is under the most pressure going into 2022.
Ooh, so I love that.
We'll start with the company. Ooh. Which one of you wants to start? I'll give y'all my answers I gave last night, too, and reasons why, but just the company that's under the most pressure and the reason why.
The company that's under the most pressure is Dynamic, and the reason why is because their plastic is now going to be in the spotlight completely, and I would say their pressure is not necessarily, it's definitely on this season because they need their players to not drop off, particularly Ricky, although I don't suspect he will because he'll have access to discs that he throw when he was winning world titles. But I think the pressure is really going to mount on Dynamic closer to when it becomes time to extend these players they have. But I think still this season, I mean, when you bring in all those top players and now, you know, you need those players to be at least as good as they were before. And your plastic hasn't really been being thrown at the top level this past few seasons. They definitely are going to be under the most pressure for sure.
But yeah, also at the same time though, they're going to sell a ton of discs.
Maybe.
I think they're going to with Ricky. Oh, they're going to get all the young kids. Young kids love Ricky.
Listen, I mean, we carry Innova and we see what Ricky moves. He moves pigs, but like,
I think it's easier to move Trilogy too.
Than Innova?
Well,
I think like it's easier to move Innova because like everyone knows it, but I think Trilogy will be able to do more like to get hype generated around the product.
Yeah, I don't know. I think with all those players collectively now throwing Trilogy, there is definitely going to be a surge in Trilogy.
I think that
Innova
moves
sure.
just because it's Innova, whereas like Trilogy will move because they're constantly going to be doing stuff to promote like Discraft. Like Discraft moves in surges, different waves, because like different things get pushed really hard. New drops come out, and then like when a new drop comes out, people buy the Paul Macbeth Tour Series Luna, and then they buy three other discs.
I mean, I'll tell you right now, if Dynamic comes out with some version of a pig, I'm all over it.
Ricky has said they're developing that.
Yeah, I mean, it was a no-brainer.
Who's under the most pressure?
I think that the company that's under the most pressure is Innova because they just don't have many people right now. And so they're not going to... I don't think Innova's getting any hype this season.
I think there's
no one to hype up their stuff. There's no one to win
I think
for
from
them,
a business
really.
Standpoint, they're under the most pressure.
Yeah.
It's like there's like different sides. Because like from a performance standpoint, like Innova, apparently they don't even care about that. So I guess they're not feeling any pressure.
Yeah.
Because they're just letting players
But players winning big events is what builds hype up around discs and allows you to sell out more discs. And that's what makes you develop cool stamps and stuff. And they just don't really have an opportunity
for
that.
They still got Heimberg.
Let's not forget about
Heimberg.
They do have
True. That is true.
And they do have Haley.
Yeah.
And Evelina and Henna.
I think the player, I think Chris Dickerson.
Whoa, we're not there yet, man.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realize that we were separating.
And so I'm going Dynamic Disc for the same as Trevor, but I think that they're under the most pressure as a business because they've put all their eggs into these contracts, basically. Well, maybe not all of them.
That is true.
But they're $1 million a year to Ricky and $125,000 a year to Kona. So that's $1.125 million guaranteed.
Yeah.
Without like, if they don't sell plastic, that's a lot of money to be taking from your profit margin.
We knew how hungry
players.
They were for these players. So the question is, did they overreach because they got excited? Yeah. Like we finally got some.
I
players.
Don't feel like they did, but I think that's where they're going to be under a lot of pressure this season, because I think that they're going to have to move plastic. Like now, you got your player. You know, for years you've been moving plastic without a player. You got your player, two players. What can you do with them? And so now it's time to actually put your money where your mouth is, basically, and see like, hey, we've done it. We've landed them. What can we do with them? So I think that's why Dynamic's under the most pressure. But player, we'll go to Connor, who's ready.
Sorry, I thought we were answering at the same time. I think Dickerson has a little bit of pressure because I think that going to Discraft put him in the spotlight. Mm. I think that being at Prodigy really limited the amount that he could grow because at the end of the day, you're just not really going to get people, new people to throw Prodigy and stay on Prodigy, I think. Because I think most people, once they get Prodigy in their hands and throw Prodigy, they're going to...
They're like, this is the greatest plastic I've ever felt.
Yeah, they're either it's good there's either a cult mindset and they are obsessed with it, or they're just like, yeah, there's just, I don't really like this.
Well, I think that it depends on what disc you hand someone first. If you hand someone a really good 750 M4, they will become obsessed
with Prodigy.
But
you have to find one first.
If you hand them an MX3 with flashing that'll rip all the skin off your fingers.
They might not ever play disc golf again.
They might never, they might never touch Prodigy with a 10-foot
ball. They might lose their hands.
It just depends on what Prodigy disc you hand a person.
And that's the thing. If you're just trying to hand them a disc, you're either trying to find one in your collection to convince them that you like it, or you're trying to pull something off the shelf and you're not going to convince them with anything with that.
I mean, the other...
Except for their putters. Great putters.
There's no need to hate on Prodigy.
No reason. Yeah, that's...
Trevor, I was about to say stuff that I was like, there's no reason to say that. All right. Trevor.
My player, there's a few different... I think all my players in consideration come from the FPO division for most pressure, but I think I'm going to pick, based on what I think is about to happen, Katrina Allen. Because I think she's about to sign... I think she's about to sign a really big contract, possibly the biggest FPO contract ever.
Like public-wise.
Public-wise.
We don't know Paige's.
Right. She's about to sign a really big contract, and I think that she is in the biggest danger of getting buried when the really good European players come over. Mm. The field is... If they're over, the field is going to be stronger than it's ever been. You could say Paige, but Paige, even though we thought she struggled last year, she's still really dominated. So yeah. I think that she's going to be okay. I think Katrina, if she has the weight of that massive contract on her shoulders. Now, some players have the opposite effect. Some players get that huge contract and they're like, okay, I'm good now.
Well, the one thing I'll say about Kat is this is, unless she signed a one-year deal, this is most likely her retirement contract because she's 37 years old. So this is most likely her... All right, when this contract's up, so I don't need a bigger contract because I'm done. So if she gets like a big contract, it could be the world off her shoulder because she's like, I've done it.
It could be that effect. It goes either way for players. Sometimes they get the, I've done it effect and like I can play stress-free now. Or sometimes they feel like they have to earn, you know, what they're being paid. And I think somebody like Kat, who's very competitive, it takes a lot of pride in her game, I feel like would be more likely to feel like she needs to earn that contract. Mm-hmm. Like you don't want to be the player making $1 million a year finishing in like 10th.
Yeah.
Like, so I think her and Paige and Kristen is another one too, who just signed a really big contract. They're all going to be feeling a little bit of heat. But that's where I'm feeling the most pressure is in that FPO division. It's going to be really, really competitive. Once the field is at its full strength.
I think, so the player that I said last night, and I'm sticking with it, I think that Kona Panis is under the most pressure. Kona,
that's a good one.
Is currently sitting at 9th in the world rankings.
That's a good one.
And she just signed a contract that ties her with the largest public contract in the world.
That's a good
and
one.
And I view it as dynamic. Not obviously, they signed it partially because of her social media, but I don't think Kona wants to have her career be like, oh yeah, she was that player that got a bunch of money because she was big on social media. I think she wants to be the player who is dominant, maybe has a world title or two, that type player. And I think that's the type player that Dynamic Disc is betting she's going to be. So I think that puts Kona under the most pressure because Dynamic has this expectation of like, hey, we gave you your contract. Yeah. We gave you what you wanted. Go perform.
And I think, and this is nothing against Kona because she's a good player, but I think that Kristen is significantly better.
I would agree.
At this moment. So yeah, there's definitely a lot on her to prove herself.
I would honestly, play wise, right now, I think Valerie Mandahano is the best dynamic disc player on FPO.
Yeah, I think Kona is very talented. She was just a bit streaky. What I do know about Kona is she has the winning gene though.
Yes.
She can win and we know that. I don't think Val won.
Val won a ton in her local scene, right. So she has a winning gene. It's does she have the winning gene on
the big stage. Right.
It's definitely going to be interesting, but I just think the thing that gave Kona the edge over Val is the social media and branding presence. So for Dynamic, they probably don't really care because like if Val goes out and beats Kona week in and week out this year, it's like, we still got Dynamic Disc on her back. But if Kona gets beat by Val week in and week out, Kona's going to care. So I think that Kona has the most pressure on her to perform. They also apparently just started hammering down the wall. We're so
wrecked right now.
But with that being said, let's go ahead and throw it over to a segment that has been too long since we've done.
Very missed.
Trevor's Trivia.
Wow. The nostalgia.
Connor's Corner.
All right. So I think as we are getting close to the new season, it's good to readjust ourselves on where players stand so that we don't look like idiots when we when we say certain things on the show. Because I was looking at the world rankings just last night briefly, and I was like, man, this is different than I thought it was. Like, some of these players are in way different spots than I would have placed them. So we're just going to do this as a way to kind of, it's a wake up call.
Wake up call. Is what this is. Talk to you in the morning.
I'm going to go. I'll do, let's say, three players from the FPO and three from the MPO, and I'm gonna give the player's name and a number, and you're gonna tell me over or under
world ranking
for the world ranking.
Okay,
ooh,
with that player. So I'm gonna start with the FPO. Okay, and you were just looking at the FPO.
I only looked at Val and Kona.
I'm going to have to look a little bit.
I believe you. I believe you.
All right.
If I would have known, I would have studied it way harder.
First one. Owen Scoggins, 11th.
So under would be better.
Correct.
Oh, okay. Thank you for saying that.
I was thinking, like, in my head, like, Owen's name would appear above 11.
That's exactly what I was saying. I was about, like, number-wise,
yeah. Okay, so I'm going Owen Scoggins over. I think she had a few really good performances, but I don't think she had a ton of really good performances.
That was my initial reaction, but I'm going to say under because I think she's more relevant than it seems like.
13th is her world rank. Well, nothing to Hunter.
Come on! Okay. It's thrilling. I forgot what it was like to be in a trivia show.
Next one.
We are getting wrecked by these hammers right now.
We got Heather
so
Young.
So loud.
Heather Young.
Yeah.
14th.
I'm going under. Why, I don't know, but that's what my gut says, and I'm sticking with it. I'm not going to overthink it.
I'm going to say over.
She is ranked 15th.
Wait, what
good
was
job.
The number?
14 was the
oh,
number.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you got it. Yeah. You got it. Good job.
I knew that.
I can barely concentrate as we're being
just beat up right now.
I hope the mics aren't picking it up, but they got to be.
Well, we are all wearing headphones, and if we're hearing it, that means they can hear it.
No, because I hear a lot like going on out here.
Okay.
Nice.
Next.
All right. Last
so
one.
We're 1-1.
Last one for okay, FPO. Okay. Sarah Hokum, 6th.
Ooh.
I don't like that line. You're going first now.
I'm
going
to say.
Because you won the last one.
Under. Oh, I think that was a dumb pick. Oh, I think that I made a mistake.
Connor and I have been going opposite of each other this whole time, so I'm
going
to stick with it. I'm going to go over. I'm going to go over.
She is ranked 8th.
Let's
dang it!
2-1.
All right, 2-1 on the MPO.
I feel like I'll do better in MPO, but I could be wrong.
Okay,
I was not
one.
Confident in any of
I wasn't
those.
Confident in a single okay, thing cool. I said.
Joel Freeman.
Nope, not going to be confident here.
Joel Freeman, 16th.
Are you going
I
first?
I think it's me first because I won the last one.
Yeah,
I'm going. It's got to be over. There's no way.
Yeah, I'm saying over too.
He's gonna be.
He's
over.
Ranked 13th.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
That's wild.
We're big dumb dum dums.
All right.
That's crazy.
I ought to put him in like 25.
That is crazy.
Yeah.
That's crazy. There's so
he did have
many
a good season.
FPO
he did have a good
players.
Season. MPO.
MPO players is what
he did have
what
a good
I meant
season.
To say.
He did have a good right. season.
That is crazy.
Next we got Chris Clemens, 32nd.
Oh, I hate that line. I mean, because I feel like Chris Clemens is a better known name than Joel Freeman, but Joel Freeman had a much better year last
I'm
year.
Saying, I'm
we
saying,
both lost.
I'm
so
saying over.
You're going over 32nd?
Yeah. Yeah.
He's got to be under. Come on, Clemens. Do it for me. Clemens.
38th. It's all tied up with one to go.
Whoa!
2-2. All right. So
absolutely riveting.
We have to go opposite on this one. You willing to agree to that? So we'll rock, paper, scissors to see who gets the right to choose first.
Okay.
If you win rock, paper, scissors, you go first.
Okay. If you win, you go first.
You go first. Because okay. That's the advantage. Or you can choose. So if you'd rather go second. But basically, like,
no,
if you choose.
Let's say winner has to go
if
first.
If you win and you say over, I have to take under, no matter what.
Okay, I'm going to choose rock.
That way there's a winner. Okay. I always choose rock, so it's fine.
All right. Go ahead.
Wait, hold on. All right, go.
Rock, paper, scissors, shoot.
Okay.
I always choose rock. I told you that.
I know. Okay. I wanted to go second. I just wanted to take the pressure
off. I'm going to go first.
Put all the pressure
James
on you.
James Conrad, 15th.
Oh, boy. I was about to say that's easy, but it's not.
It's not easy. It's not easy. He's over.
Okay. Well, then I guess I'm going to say under.
He is 17th.
Yeah! I knew he was over because he did not have that great of a season. His only win this year, I believe, was the Worlds.
Joel Freeman.
He's the only player to do that since like 1990 or 80 something.
Why haven't we been talking about Joel Freeman?
I think he hasn't finished like... he hasn't won anything, so he's just kind of like been in the mix, but we don't really talk about players in the mix much.
Love that guy.
You know what I mean?
Now I love that guy.
Oh, speaking of like things that don't make sense, Silas, when we did Who's Under the Most Pressure, said MVP was under the most pressure this season.
Huh?
Why? What did he say?
I don't even remember his explanation.
I mean, I guess they didn't really sign like, anybody.
Yeah, but like exactly. Like they don't really have pressure. No one's like they don't have anything.
That's true. I wish they would have made a big purchase this year.
I've seen on like their fan pages that like something's been teased that they did sign someone, but like
I guess what if they signed Cat?
They could pick up Cat.
Yeah. We both talked about that.
Kind of sleeping on that. I guess that would have made it.
They
sense.
Also could pick up Nico. He's on the prowl too.
True. Nico throwing that gyro. Him and Conrad kind of have a similar game. They throw those flex
gyro,
lines.
Yeah, I was about to say gyro probably makes really good flex lines. Got that, you know, it flies.
Gyro, yeah,
it's gyro.
It gyros its way over there.
Yeah. I wasn't planning on talking about this originally, but I got to. We have to.
Okay.
The 2021 Player of the Year kind of just like snuck in.
Here goes Foundation talking about awards again.
Well, I just want to say one point. We don't even have to all talk about it. I just...
Speak your truth, man.
Paige Pierce got robbed of two Player of the Years this year. She got robbed the Pro Tour one, recency bias, Missy Gannon won it. And then Katrina Allen wins the PDGA because she played national tours and Paige was like a semi-soft boycott on the PDGA after U.S. Women's. I just hate that like...
Political man.
Girl caught. That's actually what you're looking for.
Okay, I just hate that Paige is getting robbed of a Player of the Year because she just decided to play less events. So, like, if you go head-to-head, this is via StatMando. I didn't realize they had this feature. It's way easier than we've ever done it. You put Katrina Allen versus Paige Pierce head-to-head. Paige was 15-5 against her this year.
That's cool.
15-5.
Dominated.
If you go Paige Pierce versus Missy Gannon, Paige was 15-4. So...
That's a fun little game.
Devil's advocate, should the amount of tournaments that you play, the amount of events that you play, like go into Player of the Year? Because technically, the more you play, the more you are a player.
What?
I mean, that qualifies you as a player more if you play more.
It should go into the overall points winner.
Okay.
So like Katrina Allen winning the national tour points, 100% makes sense because she played more. The like Ricky winning... Or whatever. Yeah, I think Ricky won. Whoever wins like the Pro Tour points makes sense because that you earn points by playing.
Mm-hmm.
But Player of the Year, if you only play one event and you win it, yeah, you're not Player of the Year. But if you consistently show up and the only reason you lost to someone else was because they played like five more events than you, so they had chances to get points when you weren't there, like I don't like that because, like I said, Paige went 15-5. They played 20 events together and Paige only lost to Kat five times.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't, and Paige had more wins on the year. Paige had, would have broke the, or like, I can't say would have broke. She would have had the most money cash-wise if Missy Gannon hadn't won the 30 from the Pro Tour finale. So like, Paige had overall, not an insane season for Paige, but she had a great season for any player, and then got snubbed of both Player of the Years. That's all I'm saying.
I'm not good at playing devil's advocate, because I was like, yeah, but what about this? And you're like, well, but this? And I was like, yes, sir.
Well, you can play devil's advocate, but like when it's something pretty blatant, it's hard to play devil's advocate. Because like that's
basically you're an idiot.
No, I'm just saying like I play devil's advocate all the time on this show. The only time it's a good thing is if there's a serious argument against it.
Your argument wasn't serious.
No, there's just not like, can you make an argument for Katrina Allen over Paige Pierce?
I'm not part of this conversation.
I'm just saying like, can one
it's
of
just
you
really funny.
Can anyone make an argument for Katrina Allen over Paige
Apparently
Pierce?
Apparently the PGA can.
Other than she played more events. Like that's the only thing. And this is the second year that's happened.
Dang, dude.
I just hate that for Paige.
Down bad.
It sucks, but it is what it is.
What'd you say?
He said down bad.
What's that mean?
He's sad.
Like you're down bad. Like I don't really know how to explain it. It's like, it just kind of, everyone knows it.
Oh, I guess, yeah, everybody knows it.
It's just like a thing, you know?
just move on.
So the 2022,
down bad right now. Just move on.
Yeah, perfect. You got it.
There you go.
2022 Disc Golf Pro Tour card registration is public. I didn't realize that. So you can see everyone who signed up. So the Disc Golf Pro Tour card, allows players, trying to read what it does, but essentially it gives players where they can sign up for all events, like guaranteed. So I was looking at this list because I was like, this would be curious just to see who's on it. And I was especially looking for some Finnish players, namely Evelina Salonen and Hanna Blomroos, who have both purchased the tour card for 2022.
Yes.
Now, does that mean anything?
Yes.
No. But what I hope it means
means that they intend to try and play tour events.
They intend to be over here. Yeah. And if you look at, so the first wave, what I don't know is if it automatically registers you for all of these tournaments.
There's different levels of it. I remember.
But like, does it auto sign you up or do you still have to go in and sign up? Because that is very crucial.
I know it pays for it.
I know that. But if it...
No, I think it...
Because if you still have to go in and sign up, then Evelina and Henna have signed up for like the first three events of the year. I was looking at it this morning.
Oh, well...
So that's what I'm saying is like, because since they bought the tour card, their name's auto on the list and we don't know if they're coming, or it's like they bought the tour card and they went through the process of signing up.
Probably auto does it.
It probably auto does it, yeah, but I'm getting false hope.
Because it's through Disc Golf Scene, so like that's not new.
I'm getting false hope that we might start the year off with Evelina and Henna.
That'd be awesome.
I feel like it's a possibility now with travel, but it still is not easy.
Evelina or Henna win Vegas?
Evelina won it 2 years ago or 3 years ago, I think. You can find it pretty easily.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just so curious.
I hope they come in and start taking names.
Dude, I spelled her name right first try.
You are
wow. It's not even trivia time.
Career wins. Let's see. Oh, frick. Evelina has a major win. Kona Peach Day 2018. Trevor's favorite major.
It's not real.
Wow.
You're going to take it from her, too?
That's up good.
That's stupid, man. Unless it was when... She must not have won. She must have just been up close to winning.
Somebody won one of the Finnish.
No, yeah, she didn't. Kristen, maybe? Or Henna?
Oh, it's Henna then. Has to have been. I swear one of them won
Vegas.
I don't
think so. I think they were in. I think I'm Evelina capping. Was. I think
Evelina. Just capping on camera.
You're capping crunch.
Capping
I think,
camera.
Yeah, Evelina has. Or Henna didn't either. I think Evelina was in contention and lost to Paige or Kat.
Okay.
Is what happened.
Okay. Maybe it was kind of when she burst on the scene. That's what I'm thinking of. Like she kind of made her name.
One more thing before I have like one final segment for the show. Is the 2022 Virtual Sport World Team Disc Golf Championship is being put on by WIFDIF using Disc Golf Valley. Let me just explain this really quick. So
I don't know who I have to bribe to get an invite to this, but I will do it. Please get me invited.
Trevor's pretty good at Disc Golf Valley.
Listen to this, Connor. You weren't here when we were reading it.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah, you weren't here when we were reading about this, but this is exhilarating. So players from 40 countries around the world are going to be invited to participate in national qualifying rounds between January 17th and February 13th, with each country being designated a 7-day window, which with the qualifying rounds will be played. Then the top male and top female, this is all in Disc Golf Valley, the top male and top female player from each country will be given the honor of representing their country in the main event to be held February 19th and 20th.
Yeah.
There's no cost to participate. There's no prizes, but you will be a world champion at the end of it.
Wow.
I'm telling you, like, please just give me a sponsor exemption. Get me into this thing. I will market it so hard. I'll make it so entertaining. People will tune in just to watch
what
me
a live
get
stream
killed.
Can we? Are
I don't
you
know
ever,
how you get invited.
Can you watch it?
I hope surely, so.
Have
surely.
You ever watched Dude, the people that are like automatic at that game? Because they are robots.
Yeah.
They're robots.
I will tell you right now, I will go in and put in my guess and an American player is not winning.
I don't know. The top rated player was American.
Really?
For a while there.
Wow. I just assumed.
Man.
No, because what I want to know is in video games, typically I feel like other countries excel over America. Am I wrong?
Depends on the game.
Depends on the game.
I was talking about League of Legends, like yes. But certain games, no.
I wasn't trying to say anything other than the fact that I thought statistically other countries were better at video games. Oh. But I don't know anything about video games, so never mind.
Okay. I do want to know, like, is the national qualifying going to just be wide? Like, it says invites will be sent out, but, like, how widespread?
I'm trying.
If we can live stream us trying to qualify, that'll be exhilarating.
Imagine how the pressure.
I can barely shoot under par because that game, so I don't deserve.
Here's the thing about that game: at the right course on that game, I can shoot. Like if I play my very best, I can shoot like a perfect.
Can
round.
You just imagine if Trevor?
So
got
in theory, I could qualify. And this is back when I was playing a lot. I used to play that game a lot.
You better get your fingers on the sticks, man. Yeah, you got five days till these things start.
Well. But yeah, I know I'd probably get like six holes in, be like perfect score, and then like throw one in the water and chuck my phone at the wall.
You're a new father. You've got nothing but free time right now. You should just be sitting there.
Yeah, your baby just sleeps all the time.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, man.
You should just be grinding on Disc Golf Alley to represent your country.
Can we please do a companion stream if they stream
if there's a way to watch it and stream it, we will treat it like a major championship.
I'm very excited about that.
Like, here's the thing though, like unless they like design a new course that's like really really difficult, like I feel like the best players in the world at that game are just not missing any shots.
But that's gonna be so fun. True. What if they go to like a 36 hole playoff?
That's sick.
It's just like the first person to mess up.
I'm down to watch.
Hole 17 of that has to be their like virtual hole 17 of USCGC.
But that's the thing, like that hole to like the good players is so easy. Like some of the
it's just like at USCGC, that hole
but
is
like,
easy.
How are you supposed to putt with your hands
exactly
going like this?
They know exactly where to aim and what power to do for like every shot.
You don't
shot.
Think that Paul knows exactly where to aim and what power to
yes,
use?
Yes, but there's more error than just going like this and releasing.
Disc Golf Valley is harder than Disc Golf.
You're right, it is.
Is Disc Golf Valley isn't the one you
listen,
flick, right?
If anybody from Disc Golf Valley is listening, no.
What game is that? Remember that game? Was it Disc Golf Unchained? There's a game where you like are third person watching someone throw.
Yeah,
just
that's
having
a different game.
And you slide dag and then flick. That's
did you guys ever play Pixel Disc Golf?
No.
That was that existed before Disc Golf Valley. That was a lot of fun. You could play as Jeremy Colling, and it was a Prodigy game.
Oh, nice.
Oh, I don't remember that update.
It looked like Mario.
Nice.
Yeah.
to wrap out the show, because the season's coming, I want to know what tournament are you most and least excited to watch in 2022?
Least has got to be, isn't Worlds at Ledgestone course this year?
No, Emporia.
Right. This is, isn't it eventually going to be at the Ledgestone course?
I think it might be Ledgestone again next year.
Okay. I changed my answer then. Go ahead, Connor.
I don't know.
Hunter, go ahead.
Sick. Great segment, guys. Thank you all so much for listening. Maybe we like actually just ended right there.
No, dude. I just had to think about
I'm
it.
I'm going
to
go most excited to watch Call Me a Simp USDGC at all.
That had to be the obvious answer for
that's
me.
That's always my most excited to watch. Yeah, it just is what it is. You can hate it all you want. Least excited
To watch. Well, actually, no, I disagree. If they go to Europe, I'm most excited to watch the Europe.
Oh, that's true. I just, Simps. In my head, I've already counted that's not happening.
Don't say that.
Kota Piche was my favorite event the first year I watched.
Oh, that
golf.
Fake major.
All right, I apologize.
For the record, 100% think Kota Piche was a real major because what defines a major?
No, I changed my answer again.
The course
I changed
so
my
much
answer
fun to
again.
Watch.
Yeah. I changed my answer again. I'm most excited to watch the Champions Cup, first year of a new major at WR Jackson.
It's a sick course. I'm very excited for
it's
it. But
a new,
I don't
it's a new major. I'm most excited because I'm curious to see what they do.
Boom.
With the
there
event.
You go. I'm sticking with USGC. I'm sticking with it. Same. I'm very excited to watch the Beast if they go to European Open. But my biggest thing with travel right now is, because this has happened to one of my family members.
We're not even sending people to the Olympics right now. You think we're going to play disc golf over there?
Well, that's what I'm saying. The issue with it is you have to test negative so many times in between that vaccinated or not vaccinated, coming back, there's a risk that you test positive and you have to quarantine for 14 days over there. If you're a touring pro, there's very few people that can easily be like, oh yeah, another 14 days in a hotel and just shell that money out and be like, crap.
Yeah.
And also then, what if you're traveling with your tour partner? Let's say it's me and my wife and we're coming back from Europe and I test positive, but Liz doesn't. So I have to quarantine for 14 days. So she stays with me. Then the end of the 14 days, she tests positive. Now we're there for a full month and we just missed D-Glow and Worlds. or whatever it is.
Yes.
It's just a very interesting risk that that players will have to take and weigh that risk of, like, you might test positive on the way back.
Yeah.
It's just something that I think the closer it gets, the more players are going to... Because I think that's what Dickerson has said, is, like, he didn't want, with, like, the uncertainty around COVID restrictions traveling-wise, he just didn't want to risk it. Just because you are risking having to get stuck. Because if you have to quarantine here, you have a home... You have, like, at least somewhere that you can be comfortable and be here in an environment you know.
A transit.
Yeah. Yeah. Even if it's just an RV. You have somewhere that you can be here, be comfortable, and you don't have to worry about, like, booking flights back and changing stress and all that. Like, it just is what
it is. I will
say
my honorable mention for most excited is MVP, because it'll be a super cut-down field. And I'm just curious to see what that looks like with the playoff format. So really I'm going, excited about the playoff.
Are you going USDGC still?
Yeah.
So USDGC, USDGC, Champions Cup. Least excited.
What a cool name.
Champions Cup?
I mean, well,
it is great. I'm very excited for it.
Champions League, you know, it's like...
least excited.
I don't think there's... Now that the national tour is gone, like, I think... Okay, least excited. I'm actually least excited about the wraparound events at the end of the season because...
Those are Silver Series. Dude, if we factor in Silver Series, Masters Cup is mine.
Oh, yeah.
If we factor in Silver Series.
If we're talking about just regular
tour
stops.
Dude, that is actually
the
thing that we
I don't like watching... Here's the thing. Vegas is probably one of the least exciting courses
for me.
But it's
first.
But it is first. So that's why I am very excited to watch it.
Yeah.
So
maybe the OTB Open, another golf course event.
Yeah. Yeah. That one kind of just be like, meh.
Yeah.
Realistically, there's no tournament I'm not excited for right now.
Yeah.
So when I say least excited, I mean that, like...
Yeah, I'm still excited about it.
If it was on tomorrow, I would watch it like I've never seen disc golf before in my life.
It's just, yeah, it's just not going to get me like...
So I guess I'll go OTB Open just because it's a golf course. We'll stick there.
Yeah, Portland.
I will say the hate I see for our Day Law take is still one of the most common things I see. But like, yeah, frick that podcast. I never listened to it. They hated on Day Law.
The pros hate on Day Law.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, what they don't even like playing there.
The sport has evolved. The course hasn't.
Yeah, like that's...
Is what it is.
I also am really excited for the Beaver State Fling to come back.
Yeah.
Back to Milo MacGyver.
I think people get confused about our Day Law take is like, if I had an opportunity to play that course, I would do it in a heartbeat. I could not
doesn't mean it's
tour be
ready.
More excited to play Day
Law. It's like playing Plinko on half those
I would have so much fun playing Day Law, but I would not have so much fun playing Day Law on the Pro Tour if I was a top five pro.
Yeah.
That didn't make it any easier. Just like every other new disc golfer at the around time I became into disc golf, I was a Central Coast simp.
Yeah.
So I loved all those videos.
When
the World Tour first came out at La Mirada, the coolest thing the World Tour did, the Disc Golf World Tour, is they had the final day of practice before the actual round started, they had scheduled tee times for their practice rounds. And there was like media was covering it, and you like were set up of like, Paul and Jerm or whoever were like on their practice round together, and it was like a big event thing. I loved that. I don't know if I love it. Like, I'd like to see it brought back at every event, but it was a cool thing because like spectators were out. Like, you knew when your favorite pro was going to be practicing.
Yeah,
so the course was shut down, and like there was even media surrounding it. All that the Disc Golf World Tour. UC Maresma was doing stuff. He knew what he was doing, but you know, it just didn't happen.
It fizzled. And on that,
but what tournament were you least excited for?
Yeah, man.
I don't know. You know, I just don't really like talking about things that I don't like because I don't like
being
negative.
Guy.
So. I got you. Positive vibes
only. I'm just excited about the growth of the sport, you know?
Heck yeah. I'm actually wearing my Birdie Vibes
only
shirt.
Slow the sport, man. Slow the sport.
Yeah.
Grow the slort.
All right. And on that note, we're going to wrap up this week's Grip Lock. Thank you all so much for tuning in. If you haven't already, check out our Heiser Club. That's our new redesigned Patreon. One of the benefits is ad-free Grip Lock. So if you watch Grip Locked on YouTube and you don't like the mid-roll ads, you don't like the ad reads we occasionally have to do and stuff like that, you can check that out. That's available to all the tiers. And if you're listening to Grip Locked and for some reason you don't like our, you know, ads that we read, I don't know why. I think they're kind of funny. Then you can check that out as well. But yeah, you can go over to patreon.com/foundationdiscgolf. There's a bunch of other added benefits, discounts to the store, bonus content, bonus podcasts, all kinds of stuff. You can check that all out and become a Heiser Club member today. Other than that, we'll talk to you same time, same place next week.
Peace.